Hey guys, welcome to part two of the makeup drama slash conspiracy episode with my friend Val. The reason we split up this episode, well, I split up this episode, is because it was over 2 hours long and I thought it'd be easier to make it into three little segments so you guys can listen to it whenever you can without losing track, and it also makes it a lot easier to just keep up with the what we're talking about. We lost track of time, but it was a lot of fun doing this episode, and I hope you guys enjoy. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Nikita Dragon and the Shane Jeffree Star controversy palette, the conspiracy palette, I'm sorry, and the mini controversy stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy it, and yeah, enjoy. Okay, we'll see you guys later, right? Okay, bye. Let us talk about Nikita Dragon. I want to talk about her makeup line, Dragon Cosmetics. There's a lot of controversy revolving around it.
And I think Claire's makeup is great. I don't know why everybody's so angry. I used to go to Claire's as a kid, you know. You get your ears pierced, you pick up some shitty chalky makeup for $2, and you leave happy.
That is... Every time I go to Coronado Mall, there's a Claire's.
I know. There used to be Claire's, and then there was another brand that was like... I think it was a sister brand with a secondary store, and they ended up meshing them together.
I will not go into a Claire's because I am the exact opposite demographic of what they're trying to... If I go into a Claire's, they're going to call security on me. I'm going to look like a fucking...
Excuse me, security, there's a big gay man in my store.
There is a hobo in my store.
But, like, you're literally not going to be a danger then because, like, there's not very many little boys going in there.
It's just kids in general. I think...
Yeah.
I give off this weird... What are you doing, Zara?
She's being a sweetheart.
She's preparing.
She's guarding me from the door.
Okay. So, let's start at the beginning. Okay. She released her first products on March 8th, 2019, and she unveiled the website for Dragon Beauty and a promo video to Instagram, and people were not happy. You saw the promo video.
Oh, hell yeah, I saw the promo.
The Beowulf ripoff.
So, sitting in my craft room, and I was making, I think I was making something for, maybe a wreath, but, what she's looking at.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I saw the video and I was just like, what is this shit? It looked like plastic Barbie with a prehensile tail holding a giant egg.
People said it looked like the Imvu commercial, the Imvu things, where it's like pimp your avatar or something like that. Remember Invo?
Yeah.
Those things haunt me. Okay, but she released the Dragon Beauty Universal Color Corrector and a palette with two face powders. That's what I think it is. They're face powders.
They have to be.
They're highlighters.
They're giant
setting powders.
Hearts.
Yeah.
But like, why would you have a hard-pressed setting powder?
I don't know. Like, I'm...
Maybe they were just supposed to be like Universal Color Correcting powders?
Maybe, but those are... even the wrong colors for it. Maybe the pink would work. I don't know about that.
Because, like, I have experience yellow. With covering tattoos, because I have tattoos and I've done a lot of theater work.
Yeah.
And so the concealer is the right color for it. You want an orange. If you've got black lines on a tattoo, you have to put orange over the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've put the liquid over it, you need a powder to set it. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you look at most of the powders made to go over concealers to conceal tattoos... like Kat Von D's Locket foundation and powder.
Yes.
The powder is always in a container and it's loose because you want to wet a beauty blender and like dip it in and then like sponge it over the top. And also, like, why would you release a concealer, an orange concealer?
It's a pumpkin orange, too.
Yeah, because that's why. You need it to cover the black. It's like on the color wheel, it's the opposite, so it blurs it. But, like, why would that be your first thing that you release from your makeup line.
Wouldn't you think if you were releasing your very first products for your makeup line, don't you think you would release like a simple eyeshadow palette? Or like an eyeliner?
I would find something that wasn't already on the market, that wasn't being done better, and try to release that.
Or like not fuzzy lipsticks.
Not fuzzy lipstick.
We will never.
In the revolutionary nude range that no one's ever done before.
I'm so tired of nudes. So tired of nude fucking colors.
Well, like you. Okay. Everybody's nude is different. Yeah. To go with everybody's color, skin color and undertone, you'd need a set of nude lipsticks that was like 100 strong, you know? Yeah. Nobody's going to do that. And like you put the wrong color nude on, you look like...
You look like something's wrong.
You look like dead. Yeah. You look like you're dead. Like you're laying in a morgue and like they're putting makeup on you because they're going to like put you in an open casket. And your lips are the exact same color as your skin because they're trying to like cover up the gray.
Like you froze to death or you had too much crack.
We were talking about that.
The Dave Chappelle thing?
The Dave Chappelle sketch today at school.
That's how it looks sometimes when you put on a fucking...
It's like...
A nude.
You got any of them Jaclyn Hill fuzzy lipsticks?
No, it's not actually 100% true because if he was trying to do that, he'd have like scratches. From the metal pieces.
From the plastic and the metal.
Plastic, metal shards in the
metal lipstick. Shards, yeah, because somebody was using a magnet and they were coming out and sticking to the magnet.
How reckless.
What lab were they using?
I have no idea. And, God, fucking Jaclyn. Jaclyn just needs to, like, release the information.
Yeah.
Of where.
She'd been transparent. And, like, there's still fans who are saying they haven't gotten refunds.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And she's not like, denying that at all. You know, like, all she'd have to do is say, look, we have paperwork right here saying that every single person who ordered has been refunded.
She did say that in some sense.
But she doesn't have any paperwork proving it.
Oh, I know. She just, you know, you... I put it all on my silicone cheeks. Okay, but back to Nikita. So, the Universal Color Corrector costs $25, the face powder is $35, and the bundled package, the egg that she got done laying, that was weird when she said that.
I know.
She's just like, after laying all these eggs, I'm finally ready to give them to my closest friends and family.
That is so disturbing.
Yeah, it is.
What was he saying? Dollar General realness.
Dollar General realness.
Those eggs were some Dollar General realness.
I kind of want to see, what the eggs feel like. Is it just an Easter egg and we're all being fooled?
Well, I was watching Patrick Starr's video on it.
What'd he say?
That's what he was saying. He was like, they couldn't even keep a straight face. He's like, this is some, he was like tapping with his nails and he's like, this is like all, plasticky.
Oh my God.
It was just so funny. Like they couldn't even keep a straight face. Like,
ooh. It's, oh no, honey.
It was very embarrassing.
All right. But people were furious because they said it looked underwhelming.
Yeah, because all that money.
Were too expensive.
All that money on the video, and then you're looking at
it
like.
It wasn't even good quality video.
It literally looked like some last minute thing that, like, Too Faced Beauty had designed and decided it wasn't good enough and, like, tossed it away. And, like, Nikita like, Dragon went and dug it out of their, like, their little dumpster behind the building.
You're not wrong.
Am I wrong? It does. It looks like fucking Too Faced packaging with like the heart shaped palettes and shit and all
yeah,
like the
it does.
The all the pastels and yeah.
She probably did do that. She
and then
probably...
that other palette with the freaking high the
oh
the
you about to get
palette.
That you about to get to that in a second. The next part about the dragon Nikita Dragon drama is that she released a face palette. That wasn't well received either. The first thing you notice about the palette is the bad packaging. Well, I think it's bad.
Yeah.
I think it looks awful.
That 3D face on the front is the thing of nightmares.
That season promo picture of Dexter where he's like against the saran wrap. That's the vibe I always get. Like she's like she was the packaged blow up doll. That's the vibe I get.
Yeah.
And it looks bad.
And like no slut shaming here. We are all for, you know, the package blow up dolls.
Absolutely.
And if you want to be a plastic, you know, glowing goddess slathered in oil, that, you know, you do you, boo. But like
that packaging was awful. Ooh. It looked like a 3D sticker slapped on top of a plastic palette.
I vibe with that.
I personally didn't like the packaging.
No.
Let's see.
It didn't do it any favors.
No, it didn't.
And what was inside didn't make the outside any less terrifying.
Yeah, when we actually get into the palette, it's kind of obvious why people are so underwhelmed with the palette.
Oh, yeah.
Two highlighters, two blushes, and two contour colors. All these colors she has said she has chosen because they are the colors she uses every day. Let me side note a little bit here. I am tired of people saying that they chose these colors because these are the colors they use every day.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of hearing that.
Yeah, because, like, she doesn't look like she uses, like, brown and that weird corally blush color.
But also, it makes me feel like if it doesn't sell, they can just use it themselves. I hate when people are like, these are the colors I always use.
Oh, yeah.
Like Kylie Cosmetic and shit like that. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that. What were we talking about, though? Sorry about that. We had to take a short little break.
Yeah, I think we were talking about Nikita Dragon's...
Nikita Dragon's face palette.
Yeah, because we were talking about why, like... These are the colors I use every day!
Yeah. We did watch a Poplux video about Nikita Dragon's face palette stuff. And it was bad. He looked crusty.
Yeah, and he had to use a lot of both colors to get any payoff at all. It was like one side worked and the other side didn't.
And the blush wasn't even getting on the brush.
No, the blush wasn't even getting on the brush. It was kind of like if Alice in Wonderland were a palette, one side makes you bigger, pink and one side does nothing.
It was horrible. It was painful to watch, too.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. But anyways, with all that going on, I just don't think Nikita Dragon should be in the makeup industry at all.
She is more than welcome to use whatever makeup she wants.
Oh, of course.
Just don't make it.
Yeah, you're not a makeup, like, businesswoman.
No.
Jeffree Star is.
Yeah.
And speaking of Jeffree Star.
Jeffree Star is my favorite makeup woman.
Makeup alien.
I love him. I really do.
And we're going to get to that. To the Jeffree Star Shane Dawson collaboration that you actually have.
I do. I was lucky enough to snag the conspiracy and the mini controversy.
Our friend Marina got you the conspiracy palette because it was sold out. And luckily she got two of them.
Yeah.
And you bought one?
Yeah. We were sitting at... We knew this was going to launch because we were watching the entire series. And Marina told me, she's like, I'm not even going to watch, I wasn't even going to buy it, but she's like, my husband is super invested now, and he was all like, you're going to buy it, right? So, like, if Marina's listening, because I told her we're doing this podcast, hey, girl, thanks for helping me out. But we're sitting at this little tiny coffee shop in Las Lunas. It's called Europa. It's a great place. If you live in Las Lunas, New Mexico, go to Europa. Great coffee.
It's a fabulous brunch shop.
Very nice. And we were sitting there with our, like, phones out, and we're on the website. We were some of those people just sitting on the website, waiting for it to load. And I was on, like, 10 minutes before it was ready to launch. And so we were just sitting there, and as soon as it launched, it was coming up, and I was trying to add it to my cart, because I was on the Jeffree Star website, and then I was also on Beauty Bay. And then I was on Beautylish, and Beautylish would let me put it in the cart, but it wouldn't let me check out. And so Marina was on, I think she was on Beautylish too, and she was like, oh, it's letting me put it in the cart. And I was like, yeah, it let me, but it won't let me check out. And she goes, no, it's letting me check out. And I was like, put another one in. So she put another one in, and I was like, I'll buy it when it gets here. I'll give you the money for it. It's fine. Just get it. And she's like, okay, yeah, no problem. And then so we're sitting there, and she's like, oh my God, I got both of them. I'm like, what? I was just freaking out. We'd been refreshing for like 20 solid minutes, and neither one of us could get anything in a box and into the cart.
Y'all
and then
are...
all of a sudden, there was two in her cart, and I was like, ah!
Y'all are committed. I mean, yeah, it's fair that you're committed. This is a beautiful palette.
I love it.
Now, do you want to talk about the colors for a second? Now, I know that Jeffree Star eyeshadow palettes are very, very buttery. They're very smooth, easy to blend and apply.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about from top left to bottom right.
Yeah, most people have seen the palette, and most people I saw online are either all for it or they're complaining about the colors, which I understand because people are like, they're not everyday colors. But this isn't an everyday...
this is not an everyday palette.
This is literally a palette that Shane Dawson wanted to create. Mm-hmm. He worked hard on finding the colors that he wanted to make, mm-hmm. and they were based on his favorite things, like, you know...
Ranch.
Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
And my pills. His Xanax pills.
Yeah, and his pills, and, you know, the pigment, and the food videos, like... Each one of the colors have stories behind them. So it's not just like he was making random colors.
No, every one of them is linked to him specifically.
Yeah, and so the color story doesn't follow what a normal eyeshadow palette follows. It wasn't made by a team of creative artists who have a very, you know, active working knowledge of the color wheel and, you know, secondary and tertiary colors.
Although I will say... Something I noticed about the palette is that each row can be complementary with those colors.
Yeah. I think overall he did a really good job. I've used the palette several times. You know, there's some kickback in the pan, but I found that that's pretty normal with most of Jeffree Star's mm-hmm. shadows. He's got a very powdery formula because he has a lot of pigment. If you have a lot of pigment, you need to press it soft so it's easy to lift out of the pan.
Which is why it feels so, like, sputtery and mm-hmm. smooth. When you swatch it with your finger.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact that as somebody with hooded eyes, that there are a pretty good mix of shimmers and mattes. Because mm-hmm. it's really hard for me, having hooded eyes, I can't use a shimmer shade as a transition shade. I have to use a matte.
Yeah.
And let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of the matte shades. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 shimmers. So there's a really good mix. I really like it.
It is a nice balance of colors.
Yeah. And I mean, most people, like, you know, if you guys are listening to this and you're like, I don't even know what this palette looks like, either you've been living under a rock or that's just not the part of YouTube that you frequent.
Yeah.
Just look up the palette. It's a conspiracy palette. Honestly, I felt that it was worth the money, that... The shadows that I've used have all performed well. I've used almost all of them. There's a couple in the palette I haven't used. I haven't used food videos, and I haven't used cheese dust because I don't lean towards yellows and oranges a lot, but it's not that I won't use them. I probably will at some point.
It's a fabulous yellow, too.
It's absolutely stunning, and it's meant to mimic the back of his food video
I know.
YouTube videos.
I know. I just keep thinking about that.
Yeah, and it's I think overall they did a very good job. I was an avid follower of the series. I thought the series was incredibly well done from an artistic standpoint.
So that was my next question I wanted to ask you. Yeah. I have not seen the video, so I don't have a solid opinion on it.
Fair.
I want to ask you, since you've seen all 7, right? Yeah. There's 7?
Yeah.
It's a 7-part documentary. What did you think?
I thought it was like a documentary film.
No.
Like, I think it's Philip DeFranco who has said before that, like, Shane Dawson is a kingmaker. What he touches turns to gold. Because he's very genuine and he's easy to like. And we've watched him blossom as, you know, a person from an awkward, you know, teenage guy who made very inappropriate jokes because he was very nervous and, you know, trying to fit a stereotype that he didn't fit into finding who he is as an adult. And then he decided he wanted to try something that was out of his normal, you know, purview of information,
mm-hmm.
and he spent an entire year diving into the makeup business and really doing a great job, I felt, of representing Jeffree Star's brand when he did the original series with Jeffree Star, you know, allowing Jeffree Star to redeem himself by, you know, expressing his side of the story, which he'd never really done before, you know. I had heard all kinds of garbage about Jeffree Star, and I had a very negative opinion about him. And after I watched, you know, Shane Dawson's first docuseries, it made Jeffree Star feel more like a real person. You know, somebody who struggled growing up, who still struggles because, like, he has, his mom is really ill and has struggled for many years with being homeless. And, like, he didn't come from money and he didn't come from an easy life.
Yeah.
And I thought that both documentary series were really well done. But I thought specifically that this docuseries was very well done because it did show a little bit of the background behind how makeup is made. How long it takes to formulate, how long it takes to produce, how many months of planning go into making something that we can just pick up on the shelf, you know, when it's released.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was an important thing that a lot of people who are, you know, users of makeup need to know about. You know, we need to know what the products we're picking up and consuming look like from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know my opinion on Shane Dawson and Jeffree Star.
Yeah.
I don't think their content is that entertaining to me.
Yeah.
So I've just kind of moved along and found some other channels to do. Yeah. But I know you're a very avid watcher of Shane Dawson and Jeffree Star. Okay, I have to mention this. Did you see that Jenna Marbles actually got her PR package?
Yes.
What did you think of it?
I think it was actually addressed to Julian.
Was it really?
I think it was addressed to Julian.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is so
funny. I think he addressed
funny.
It to Jenna and Julian. So it wasn't just that, like, Jenna got sent a PR. And I know that Eugenia Cooney got sent one. Of course, Tana Mojo, because she's one of the shades.
Is she real? Oh, TanaCon.
Yeah, TanaCon.
Oh, I almost
Also, Trisha Paytas, because she's one of the shades. She did an entire video where she did her entire makeup with just the color Trisha.
That's kind of gross, but okay.
She looked like a powder puff. Bright pink powder puff with, like, gems on her face.
It's gross. The Trisha, the pink looks amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, look at that. Yeah. A beautiful color. I would never wear this, though.
What? No, I actually did one the other day. Used pigment for my transition, like, pigment and TanaCon, and then I did the shimmer in the center of Trisha, and then I used what's the dark,
my Uber's here,
no, the not a fact. I used Not a Fact on the outer corner to deepen it up.
Not a Fact is so beautiful.
It's gorgeous,
but I'm not a fan of hot pinks. I think they are kind of gross looking to me. I'm sorry.
It's okay. To each his own. I'm not going to ever make you wear
but
hot
it,
pink.
But it is a really fabulous pink. I've never seen a pink done like this.
No, and I'm so excited for the green and the mini palette that they're going to release.
Oh, the single pan?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot of talk about that, about how people were like, they should just release it. Because, okay, you have to tell me the story about the green.
Okay, so the green was originally in part of, it's one of the early ones, like one or like two or three, part two or three. They were going over the shades and they were swatching them, and that green caught people's eyes, but it didn't end up making it into the final cut.
Yeah.
And the Mini Controversy palette has one color in it that is also duplicated in the Conspiracy palette.
Diet Root Beer.
So they were saying they got so much fan pushback about that green that he swatched that didn't have a name at the time. I think they're calling it Bring It Back now. They're calling the shade Bring It Back, I think.
Well, at least they're listening to the fans,
yeah.
You know?
So they're saying that because they didn't want to make... They were going to add it as the center color and replace Diet Root Beer in the Mini Controversy palette. Mm. But without even anybody addressing it, they were like, you know what? There's going to be some people who already bought the Mini Controversy palette. They're not going to want to buy it again just for one color that's different in it.
That's what I was worried
about. Yeah, so they're going to release it. They're going to release the regular Mini Controversy palette when they get the restock in, probably in March. Mm-hmm. They're going to release another Mini Controversy palette with the green option, which will have a little bit of different packaging on it. They're going to probably do, like, mat it out. And then they're also looking at releasing singles of the green for the people that have already bought the Mini Controversy and they don't want to buy the palette again just to get the green.
Are you going
to
get it?
Probably. I'm a green bitch. Look at my hair.
Yeah. Look at your eyeshadow, your nails.
Yeah, I love your green. Your wardrobe. It's my favorite color.
Not today. Your wardrobe isn't green, but you have a lot of green stuff. Oh, there it is. Your undershirt.
Plus, I have green eyes.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, your eyeshadow, your nails, and your hair, too.
Yeah, yesterday I was all green. I had... Yeah. Yesterday I was wearing the Huda Beauty Emerald palette on my eyes. So I had all the green on it.
You ever heard any drama from Huda Beauty?
Yeah, there's tons of drama for Huda Beauty.
Really?
I'm not paying attention. She does not hire LGBT people.
Well, yeah, because of the where is she from?
I think she's... I don't remember where she's from. I don't want to say wrong.
But one of the Middle Eastern countries. I know she sells
to Middle Eastern countries, yes. And she doesn't want to create a fuss. But I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, how do you expect a large community to purchase your products if you won't represent and support them?
I agree with that as well. I mean, you're a businesswoman. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, and like I bought the little mini palettes, the emerald and the sapphire, because I love monochromatic palettes where you've got like just different shades of the same color. I really, really love it. And I wanted to try out some of her eyeshadows, and I didn't want to spend the price point on like the big palettes, because for me, her big palettes don't look any more exciting or revolutionary color wise I'd rather just buy an Anastasia Beverly Hills palette, which I do. I buy them all the time because I love them. One of my favorite unpopular opinion, one of my favorite eyeshadow palettes of all time is Anastasia Beverly Hills Subculture palette. It's my favorite palette of all time.
I don't know what it looks like.
It's beautiful. It's cool colors, but people hated it because it was a different formula. Uh-huh. So it had a lot of kickback. So like if you're not careful, you can hit pan in like 3 or 4 swipes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god. Really?
Yeah. It's very soft pressed formula.
So you have to dab it.
Yeah, you barely dab. Like, you just dip your brush in with barely any pressure, and you pick up a crap ton of product.
Yeah, I think people are just so used to digging for payoff.
I don't like hard-pressed shadows very much. Like, otherwise I would, you know, I used to buy Urban Decay, and I hated digging in the pan to get the Urban Decay shadows out. It's not that they're not pigmented, it's just that they're not as, you know, easy to get out. But a lot of people didn't like the Subculture too because they were cool colors. Mm-hmm. And some of the colors, if you don't understand how they work, if you mix them together, you just get gray.
Yeah. I believe that.
You have to know color theory to play with that palette. But it's absolutely beautiful, I think. And I love it so much that when I decided I wanted to buy a little bit of high-end makeup, I decided to buy a Natasha Denona palette. And it ended up picking up her gold palette because it had a lot of colors really similar to the Subculture palette in it.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to mess with, like, the blue duochrome and the really dark teals in there. I almost don't really touch golds a lot because I don't know what to do with them. I need to learn how to, like, use gold effectively.
Really?
Yeah. I never know what to do. Every time I sit down and try to use gold, I always end up going for a look that looks nothing like gold. End up putting it with something else.
Yeah. That sucks.
But yeah, unpopular opinion, I loved Subculture. And I think I don't know anybody who's like, it was okay. Either they're on the internet and they're like, I love this palette, it's amazing, or I fucking hate this palette. There's like no in-betweens.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I haven't picked up the Anastasia Beverly Hills Subculture one. But like, I don't think I would want something. I like hard eyeshadows. I like something that, you know, you can build.
Yeah.
But these are really nice, too.
These are harder than, like...
The blood sugar yes.
It's much harder.
Conspiracy is soft.
Conspiracy is... I was looking at it online, and they say it's pressed closer to, I think, the Beauty Killer and the Androgyny palette. Mm-hmm. They had more similar formulas. Mm-hmm. Like, people were saying, oh my god, this formula is totally different, I hate it. But, like, it's not a totally new formula, it's just not the same formula as blood sugar.
Yeah.
So...
Another thing I wanted to talk about was the drama that was happening with the conspiracy palettes.
Yeah.
The fibers that people were finding and tweezing out of the pans. I saw a comment on one of the videos showing the fibers being pulled out.
Yeah.
Saying, why are they pulling out the fibers? The palette works just fine. Yeah. With the hair, with the fibers in it. They're not hairs.
Yeah, they're not hairs.
They're fibers.
They're fibers from silk that they use to press the palette. And, like, he actually showed a video of them pressing it.
Jeffree Star actually addressed the situation on his Snapchat story, which is something I really, really like. This is what Jaclyn Hill should have done.
Yeah.
She should have just shown the process.
Yeah.
And explained what happened and fixed the situation.
But she couldn't because she didn't, she wasn't there. Obviously, if she signed off on those lipsticks... Those hairy motherfucking lipsticks. If she signed off on those.
The shredder lipsticks?
Yeah.
I cannot. I,
Teenage Mutant Ninja lipsticks.
She will never live that down. Everyone will remember those horrible, horrible lipsticks.
Fur in a component. Jaclyn Hill lipsticks.
Huh? What?
Fur in the component, Jaclyn Hill lipsticks.
Oh, right. that was another meme too. Wee. That Jaclyn Hill went into the Jeffree Star factory and put hair in the
palette. Oh my god, that's hilarious.
But like Jeffree Star handled it like a business person. Yeah. Yeah. He went on to Snapchat and he was like, okay, this is what's happening sometimes. And he said this, which I really liked. 1.1 million palettes were sold.
Yes.
Only 35 people complained about the hairs.
Yeah.
And the YouTube sphere made it into this big fucking deal. Yeah, and
like, I mean, I ordered the Conspiracy palette and the Mini Controversy. I didn't have any problems with them. There was no inconsistencies. No,
they look great.
Nothing in there.
Yeah.
My friend Marina also ordered the Conspiracy palette. We opened ours at the exact same time. I didn't see anything in hers.
Yeah.
So obviously this was just like a very small amount of people.
This was a slight
And he oopsie. Offered, I think he offered a full refund or a replacement palette. Mm-hmm. They could choose because mm-hmm. they're not contaminated. Technically, there's nothing in them that'll hurt anybody. Well, I mean, it is a contaminant. Anything that is in a pan of eyeshadow that's not supposed to be there is by law considered a contaminant. It's not a dangerous contaminant.
It's just silk fibers.
Yes. And not all the colors have it because only specific colors of pigments needed the silk to be pressed.
Yeah, because those are much softer, mm-hmm. much softer formulas yeah. than the other ones. He did actually show a video about like how they get pressed, yeah. and he did also explain that some of the little swatches, mm-hmm. and some of the little swatches in the palette are softer and then require a little bit more delicate finessing mm-hmm. with pressing them. Yeah. And sometimes when the silk sheet, I guess
that's what it's called. Yeah, so they're supposed to be one single sheet of silk. Sometimes they're cut to size and they're cut with scissors.
Yeah, and they'll fray.
Yeah, so if they're not using like fabric shears, it'll fray. Like if you cut a piece of silk fabric, you sew.
Yeah.
If you cut fabric with regular paper scissors, it's going to shred the edges. Like if you look at the edges of the fabric up under a microscope, you'll see where the strands have been pulled away.
Yeah. But like also he says that sometimes they don't change them frequently when they're pressing them.
Yeah.
And they'll fray and some fibers got into some of the swatches.
Yeah.
And he did.
Because this was the largest single order of eyeshadow palettes in e-commerce history. Most companies make about 500,000 palettes for a single launch.
Yeah. No, this was, we saw this from a long shot.
Yeah.
The second the first Jeffree Star documentary finished, it was on.
Yeah.
You knew that they were working on something.
We all knew they were working on the eyeshadow palettes. And, like, I've been a huge fan of Shrinkle and Sugar Pill for mm-hmm. many years. Like, they're one of my go-to. I have the Pro palettes. My favorite lipstick of all time is the Liquid Lippy Trinket. It's, like, it's gorgeous and it smells like a dreamsicle and it's delicious. Mm-hmm. It's the prettiest lipstick on. But a lot of times Shrinkle will put on her Instagram and on her, mostly on her Instagram stories because she does a lot, she's really active on Instagram. She'll show them pressing the pigments. Like she's done whole videos on like when she was discussing, there was one shade that they can't get anymore because the supplier that made the specific pigment that they used.
Dolly Pop.
They can't get it anymore.
Mm.
So, like, they were practicing with different pigments to try to like match the shade as close as they can, but they probably can't.
No.
But she has a lot of videos showing them pressing them. And because they hard press, they don't use the silk sheets. Mm. But I've seen how pressing machines work. So like, having a knowledge of that ahead of time and knowing what makeup pressing looks like, because I'm just a curious person.
Mm-hmm.
I like finding out how things work.
Well, especially in the makeup industry.
Yeah. So when I watched those videos, I was like, that's really cool. I never knew that's how they pressed eyeshadows. I wonder like what else they do. So I kind of did some deep diving like back then. This is like 3 years ago. I was looking at these posts. And I was reading that based on like the softness of the shadow, the amount of pigment in it, the pressure of which you want it to sit in the pan, that all is determined by how it's pressed. And so sometimes they use other forms of fabric to press it.
Yeah.
And especially if you're embossing designs over it, like if you haven't seen this palette, go check it out. It's really cool.
Yeah, Jeffree Star.
Every single color has... And, like, the blood sugar's not that way. Some of them are embossed, but most of them aren't. Yeah. But with the Conspiracy palette, every single one is embossed with a different shape. It's not just a single star eyeshadow.
It's not brand. The Jeffree Star logo.
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking at the Conspiracy palette, sometimes you'll see, like, the Jeffree Star logo. Sometimes you'll see the Shane Dawson Conspiracy logo. Sometimes there's, like, a dead pig head logo,
yeah.
T logo, there's a crying eye, which is ironically the Tanacon shade.
Yes.
There's even a root beer and a wheel for my rides here, referencing Uber.
Yeah.
So funny. They really just...
And then, like, the mini controversy palette, they've got...
They have Flat Earth.
Flat Earth.
Cry on my couch, my boyfriend's purse... Controversy, diet root beer, my apology is the funniest one.
Yeah, it's a T. And then exposed, canceled, and the simulation. I love it. I haven't even swatched these. I literally just got this in the mail today. So we were sitting on the website waiting to get the conspiracy palette. And I was like, all the bundles were sold out, which sucked because I was totally going to spring for a whole bundle. I was going to pay like $265 for the bundle, which came with a mirror, a lipstick, the gloss, and both palettes.
Sweet Jesus.
I think it was several shades of the lipsticks. Anyway, it was like a really good deal for the palette, for like the bundle. Mm-hmm. So I went to go get, once Marina had the conspiracy palette in, I went to go and see if I could pick up the mini controversy palette. And that's when we found out it hadn't launched on the site. Because Shopify, the online retailer that handles Jeffree Star's, it crashed. Because Jeffree Star's shop isn't the only one that they host. They also host Tati Beauty. They host Kim Kardashian's and Kylie Jenner's makeup lines. Mm-hmm. So like they have a lot of different shops, and it was just so overwhelming.
Also the amount of traffic that was coming for the palette.
So they were having trouble with the website loading all the items. So I was keeping up with Jeffree Star's Twitter account, and he was like, "We're so sorry. The pig mirror and the mini controversy palette and a couple of the lipstick shades never even launched. They're up on the site now." And as soon as I saw that, I was like, holy shit. So I ran back over to the site and I picked up the mini controversy palette. So it came later. I got the conspiracy palette like 4 days after we ordered because we ordered it through Beautylish. And Beautylish is a much bigger retailer and they have a much bigger warehouse and a larger shipping staff. So they're able to turn over product much faster. Mm. Whereas Jeffree Star's, warehouses are a little bit smaller. His shipping staff is smaller. So it took a little bit longer with the volume of orders. So it did take a while, but I did receive an email because my first confirmation email said that it would be sent out 10 business days, excluding weekends, after the order. The day before the 10th business day was up, I received an email from Jeffree Star shipping team telling me that they were experiencing high volume, they were really struggling to keep up with orders, and so my order was going to be late, and they gave me an option right then and there to either continue as planned and wait for my palette to come in. Or if I didn't feel like waiting, they would be happy to give me a full refund at that point and I could try to purchase later or I didn't have to take the product.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really, really nice. Good business.
Yeah,
Because I didn't have to go track them down and be like, where's my palette? The day before the last day that they had on the deadline, they took the initiative to contact people before people were like, where the hell is my palette?
Mm-hmm. It's really, like you said, it's really good business. It's really nice, too, to be in the loop of what's happening with what you bought.
And to get an email that says, you know, your palette is coming. We haven't forgotten about you.
Yeah.
We, you know, we respect the fact that as a consumer, you have a choice. If you feel like you don't want to wait anymore, we're more than happy to give you a refund on it. Like, that's really nice to have an option, because I know of several different things where, what was it, the that one beauty brand that partnered with Lisa Frank, and they did a Kickstarter for a Lisa Frank palette.
I remember that.
It has not shipped 3 years, and nobody has gotten refunds. And I guess the woman who runs the business just posted her a whole wedding on Instagram, and somebody put it underneath. They were like, I'm so glad you have money for that giant wedding, that, you know, all that money you got from the palette you never sent us.
All right. That Lisa Frank little Kickstarter thing, it was horrendous.
Yeah.
They did such a terrible job with it. Even I'm not a Lisa Frank fan, and I know that that's...
Hardcore Lisa Frank
Yeah,
fan.
I know. I'm so sorry for how disappointed you are for that.
I know.
But, like, I saw the Lisa Frank, like, packaging, and I was like, they just automatically fucked it all up.
Nobody's gotten it.
It's a purple and white compact.
Yeah.
And it's not even fun. It's not even colorful. The blush looks bad.
Yeah.
And they never got it.
I mean, like, I started watching YouTube videos to learn makeup 6 years ago. So, like, way before beauty influencers were what they are now. Like, I started watching Candy Johnson. And I still love Queen of Blending, even though she doesn't do YouTube videos anymore. She does do Instagram, and she's pretty active on her Facebook. And sometimes she does Get Ready With Me's on Facebook. But I was huge into, like, Clownola makeup, because it's just the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Bright colors. And that's what drew me into makeup. Not basic bitch, all brown.
Cut creases. Cut creases, defined brows.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love me a cut crease on a good day, but, like, also give me some fucking color.
That's cute. Cut crease is cute. But, like, makeup has no rules.
Yeah.
To define beauty and makeup as to that, and that alone, is not fair.
Yeah.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening. And remember, if you're interested in the content I'm putting down here, you can always find me on Spotify, Google Podcast, anywhere really, like Stitcher, anywhere where podcasts are broadcast, I'm going to be there. And again, thank you so much for listening. Until then, stay tuned for part 3, where we talk about cancel culture and the effects of it. And we use a few famous YouTubers like James Charles as well as kind of examples of what cancel culture can do. So stay tuned for that, and I'll see you in the next episode, okay? Bye.